Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prism Radio. And, excuse me. So this is the 102nd Prism Radio show. It is January 25th, 2016. And I'm going to cough again. Hold on. Okay, that's a good thing. Got a mute button. I didn't want to cough in your ears there. So this is the 102nd show, as I said. This is the... I think my first show for 2016. Happy to be here. I got to tell you, it feels like it's been forever since I've been online in this show. I know it's just been 2 weeks and partly been so super busy with all kinds of stuff that I kind of got distracted and today kind of snuck up on me. So I really wasn't that prepared completely with the show. I apologize for that. So, but I got a couple things I want to do today, and this is the first show that I'm going to start doing this. So basically, all of my shows, I'm going to pick like something that's in the news, something that is topical, and everything at the end. So I'm going to try to start breaking up the show into more segments at each show instead of just one long hour and a half show, and I'll give you the kind of the outline for the show before the show, kind of so you get a pretty good idea what's going on, so you don't get too discouraged or too impatient or whatever. So the first part of the show is going to talk about the man box, and the man box is basically or specifically the man box is a box or some sort of container that has four, and I'm using the man box. I guess it's possible for it to be a girl box, but it's got your man clothes. It's got probably some makeup remover. It's got everything you can to do your switch change from Supergirl to, I think it was Lana Lane. I don't remember her name. You get the idea, from super person to mortal person. So you're out running around, you're doing things as the girl. This is, of course, pre-transition. You haven't transitioned yet. You're running around and as the girl, and something happens or whatever, and you can kind of fairly quickly change back. So that's the idea of an everything. But what I'm going to talk about is a couple segues from the man box into some higher level, or not higher level. We're going to do a deep dive into the concept of the man box. We're going to also the concept of when you give up the man box and what that means, and some considerations for when that happens, and that type of thing. So we're going to talk about that, and then it's going to segue into a topic of selfish versus selfless. And that's a segue from the man box conversation that we're going to have. And then the third thing, there is a on the news part, the news of the day, and it came out, I saw an email that it came out actually today. And of course, it's a bathroom thing that it's, the title is Sexual Assault Victims Speak Out Against Sexual Assault Victims Speak Out Against Washington's Transgender Bathroom Policies. Again, it came out today in a magazine in Washington, the state of Washington, and at Olympia, Washington. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. So again, it's basically three kind of segments of this show. Before we get started on the man box, talking about that, we will do a little bit of a I'll do a little bit of disclaimer, and we'll be back here in a few minutes and talk about that. I was just thinking that some of you may not know what the man box is. We were kind of joking about it last night. It's anyway. I'm not going to go there. So anyway, I'll be back here in a little over a minute. Please be aware that the opinions of our guests and our live callers is just that, their opinions, and may or may not reflect upon the opinions or views of Trans Women National, TWN Radio, Prism Radio, Holly Knight, or Julie Millwood. Also, although this show is usually suited for all ages, we do recommend that anyone under the age of 16 be accompanied with a parent or guardian. If you have any comments or questions, please let us know, and you can find more information on our website at www.transwomennational.org. Thank you. Basically, that means if anybody calls, that's their opinion. If I say something, that's my opinion. And, the ownership is that of the person that is stating the opinion, and it doesn't reflect that. One of the things is we have conversations, our officers meeting with Trans Women National all the time, is like public statements and that type of thing. And by no means would it be a very positive, constructive organization where we had to produce clones in all regard, including what was being said. One of the amazing things about the transgender community is the extreme diversity that we have, and that carries along with the opinions. So although I will say that I understand that on many, many things, I have completely different opinions than a lot of my trans friends do. And I think just like a lot of things is that it's based on, I think I'm pragmatic. I'm more kind of a realistic, I guess, or pragmatic type of a thinker. I've always been that kind of a thing. I try to break things down. I try to separate my feelings from what I think is what's going on. And it's interesting, people that are not pragmatic, I don't really know what the opposite of pragmatic necessarily is. Maybe irrational, but that's a negative word. But those people that are non-pragmatic oftentimes think when I say things, it's coming from how I feel. And that's quite honestly, as a college educator, as a college coach, a lot of times I had to do things, and you have to, if you're going to do really, really well at those type of situations, you have to separate yourself and your emotions, how you feel about things, from what you do. I'm not saying that you pretend or lie or whatever, but you can't. You have to be more rational, more pragmatic in the things that you're doing. And so it just kind of fit well for me, because that's pretty much what I am, who I am. And so I look at things a little bit more analytical. I'm one of those people that, like, for example, I'm getting ready. I'm considering moving. I'm probably not going to move now, but I put together this spreadsheet. I mean, you would go crazy looking at my spreadsheet. I have a tendency to even put, like, I put a power rating on things. Like, for example, if I'm going to buy a house, an attached garage is going to carry more weight than 20 acres, for example, that type of thing. I know, not that I've done that, but that's the type of person I am. I try to break it down a little bit objectively, not so much subjectively, but I have obviously feelings about stuff. So these are my opinions. I get that. I really get that. sometimes it's going to be disagreeing. And, you know, if it offends you, clearly, I don't want to offend anybody. If you know me at all, I don't want to offend anybody. But I'm just being authentic. I'm being honest. I'm being direct. I'm being the person I'm going to do. And so we're going to talk about some of these things, and it's going to come across, and it may offend you. But I will tell you, too, on the other thing is, and this is kind of part of what we're going to talk about today, is that on the pure level of being a teacher, which is, I went to college, my graduate work, you go through to be an educator. On a pure level, you do that for the sake of giving to others. You do that for the sake of helping others through education. So that is at the heart and soul of what I am as a human being, is an educator. Now, there are a lot of you that could care less about that and believe that you know, you don't need it or whatever. That's fine. But that's where I'm coming from. So anyway, that's kind of the thing. That's my approach, as you could tell. Most of my shows are in that direction. And I'm going to throw things out. You can think about it. And as I say, take it with a grain of salt. You can listen to it and consider it and things. But it's coming from what I think is going to help people, hopefully help somebody. So the man box, let's talk about that as we go along. And for those that do not know what the man box is, it's a phrase that people use to describe, as I said, a box of stuff. We'll probably have shoes, socks, pants, belt, shirt, that type of thing. Excuse me. And probably have some sort of makeup remover, some sort of way to get rid of all remnants of your feminine expression, outward expression. And so, therefore, you keep that with you. A lot of times you may take it with you when you're in a car and you're out right around. You may, like if you go to a hotel, I mean, I don't know. I mean, things like that. I honestly, during my transition, I didn't have literally a man box that I took with me very much. I did on occasion. There was a couple situations I took on occasion. But I'm going to talk about it like the man box is not only the man box, but how long do you keep your man stuff, your male stuff, your clothes and that type of thing. And probably if you're listening, and you're transgender and you kind of got there, you say, well, when you transition, you do it. And not necessarily. And that's what I'm going to talk about here as we go along. So who should have a man box? Probably if you are, for sure, if you are in the closet, you do not exist in public, you probably do not need a man box, because you're not going to be in that situation where you got to do a quick change or whatever. But if you are in the closet, you probably have your female clothes that are hidden. And I'm talking on the trans women level, and a lot of this can be converted. Of course, if you're a trans man, trans masculine person, you've got your male clothes hidden, possibly. And so I'm speaking from what I'm experienced about as being a trans woman. So then you got that next kind of group, not higher or lower, just another group of people that are in a process of transitioning. And that's a group that probably should have a man box of some sort where they can do a quick change and take with them. It can be a suitcase, it could be something in the trunk or whatever. That group is probably got, and at home, they probably have a lot of clothes that are both. And I will tell you, when I was living that life, and if you don't know you don't experience this stuff, probably the hardest part of my life in a lot of ways was living both, although gradually, for me personally, it was a slow process. Went from like existing in a closet fully to fully transitioning, so to speak, and we'll talk about that here in a second, but it was like 10, 90, 20, 80, 30, 70, and that kind of stuff, and it got to be a point where it was 70% I was me and 30% I was the other person, then clearly you're not buying new clothes. Probably you got the clothes there as you go along. So this is a process. This is not like, and that's partly my suggestion, is it's not like a one-day thing. Now, to me, again, I'm a little strange in this regard, is if you like, I've had people ask me, when did you start transitioning? I don't even know what officially I did to start transitioning. I don't know a date. I don't have a date when I started. I have a month, or really a season, that I started hormones. But for me, there was various reasons I started hormones. I really wasn't sure when I started hormones, honestly, that I was going to fully transition. I did it for other reasons. I didn't really at that time want boobs. I didn't do it for the boobs. I did it to calm me down emotionally, and it did. So it wasn't really per se to transition at the beginning. And that's another story that we can talk about at some point. But and then, like, when I fully transitioned, when I became full-time, I'm not sure exactly how to define that. I mean, I've been working as me for 5 years-ish, I guess, in that regard. Started temping for Kelly Services back about 5 years ago. And at that time when I did that, I owned my own business, and I was about 90-10 for years. But there would be times I would go back and forth. And maybe because I was 90% and 10% for so long, I would only be the guy 7 or 8 times a year for a long time. Maybe that shapes my opinion on the man box a little bit. So I don't have a date there. So when I say when you fully transition, I'm not sure I can say that when that happened with me necessarily, because I think the transitioning, like for me, honestly, to tell you, like transitioning, for me, there was no mental, emotional aspect of my transitioning. Mentally, emotionally, I've never changed really that much. Maybe a little bit. Maybe some things I like. Maybe I like glitter a little bit more now than did before, but there's probably because I can get away with wearing glitter now than I did before. And the physical transition stuff is more, I guess you could be, you can say that on the day of my surgery, then that fully transitioned me physically. But, you know, I don't know. To me, that's a blur. At when you get rid of your man box and stuff like that, as far as the people or who should have the man box, it's in that process of transitioning. So then where do you keep your man box? I said you're probably in your trunk and you back and forth a suitcase and things like that, depending on if you're living with somebody that knows, that doesn't know, and that kind of stuff. And I guess that would be a situation if you are in the closet at home, which a lot of times that's one of the last places you tell people. You may walk out as a guy, go do, somewhere, get dressed as who you are, exist in that person, and get undressed and change and come back, and that's your man box, that type of thing. So you get the idea. And that kind of explains the purpose of the man box. And so then it gets to the point, like, when do you get rid of the man box? So I'm going to assume there's one or two listeners out there, and I am on Facebook, on the page here, Facebook, and pretty much since I didn't promote it, there's not a lot of people on there, which is fine. And I am on the chat. If you're listening live, there's a chat. I don't know where you see it. From your end, it may be in the middle top of your screen, kind of a charcoal color. May say chat right there, and you can go into the chat room. You can say when you would get rid of the man box, or when you did, or when you are going to, or what is a significant time to make that decision. If you want to send me the thing on Facebook, when you would get rid of the man box, I'm going to take care of a calling commercial. And then there is a page that a friend of mine posted recently about her man box, and I'm going to talk about some of the posts on there, and then as we talk about getting rid of the man box. So I'll be back in a little over a minute. Hey there, did you know you could call in live to ask questions or even make comments at 914-205-5655? When you call, please be patient and we'll get to you as soon as we can. You will be able to listen to the show live as you wait. The number is 914-205-5655. The number is also on the Blog Talk Radio page where you are currently listening live. You can also participate in a live chat on our Trans Women National Facebook page. The link is available on the Blog Talk Radio page or our website. Thank you, and back to the show. Radio. I've been the host since June of 2010, been doing this show, and so talked about a whole lot of things over the course of time and discussed a lot of things, and tonight I am talking about your clothes keeping around. So the phrase that some people call it is the man box, and I'm not going to give too much details. I'm not going to use any names. Again, if you are familiar with this post, you're probably going to comment or see the comments and stuff. I'm going to actually kind of comment a little bit on some of the comments. And with a disclaimer, with a lot of these people I don't know. Some of them I know very well. And they've talked about a lot of stuff on this. And it's really kind of interesting when you post something like my friend posted this, and probably you just never know. And it got a whole lot of comments. So obviously there's some discussion on this and some feelings on this. So my friend posted, said the man box, some trusted girlfriends advised me keep this just in case. She said, I'm a burn the ship kind of person, but I will follow their advice. I have zero plans ever using this. So as literal as I am, And I'm gonna try to make things really, really clear, because I think sometimes I say things where I think you're reading my mind, and so I have to make sure I say it out loud, say things out loud, so that you understand. So zero plans ever using it. I'm gonna tell you that what we're gonna talk about here real briefly is that I don't think I'm, because I've actually, until we started talking about it yesterday, I've never heard it referred to as a man box. So I don't know if she came up with that, if it was already something kind of talked about or things, but I think there was a conversation, excuse me, about keeping stuff available. So maybe she's the one to come up with it and everything. So the first comment says, I certainly don't have anything like that. And I don't know what that means. Again, it's a person with a feminine name. So I don't know if it's because that person doesn't exist at all in public or is whatever. So... somebody says, in case of what? You want to dress like a man? Oh, I say donate right away. And so then there's a couple other things. this one person said, I'm just kind of arbitrarily going through this. This one person said, I had a few friends caution me against purging all my guy clothes. It kind of hurt my feelings. Like, are you really sure? Have they not paid attention? This is my life now. I've worked toward this for years, all my life, in a way. I find their lack of faith in me disturbing. And such an unlikely occasion arose, I would buy new clothes rather than keep a man box. And that's a good point. And the point we were in conversation last night, clearly. I think the concept is more important than the of keeping guy clothes available than... or mentally, that type of thing, what I want to talk about. Not necessarily keeping them, because one of the comments too is maybe your body changes anyway, your hormones or whatever, over a period of time your body changes and stuff. So clearly that's an issue. So then this is a comment here. It says, donate, you live every day for you. We're going to talk about that later. That's the selfish versus selfless thing that that I'm going to talk about. this. I'm going to kind of read. I hadn't read all of these. I didn't do that, but I guess everything I left with my ex-wife B. This person, Manbox, no, I just gave away the good ones of his clothes and disposed of the others, a few which considered androgynous or boyfriend style remained, but I gave away almost all of them. Now, liking girly clothes way too much. Hope and wish you will never, ever need your man box. did not do, although the way we do laundry around here, there's probably still an outfit in the utility room somewhere. I completely get it and think it's a good idea. I'm learning very early in my tradition that there are things that you will miss about your former self and that sometimes you have to recognize that the person was and is a very important part of your life. And if it weren't for that person, you wouldn't be where you are now. There will be times that he will demand your respect and attention, if no other reason, just to not allow you to forget that he existed. Now, I didn't read that. I did read the comment about that. And I'm going to kind of jump in here at the middle and stuff. Again, my age, my personality, my a lot of things. The book that we call Facebook, the book of face that I call and stuff, is Facebook is really great in so many ways, and there's a lot of stuff, and the attitude with so many people that it's like this all or nothing mentality. And we've referred to it, this trannier than thou mentality, is that if you don't get rid of all your guy stuff, then you're truly not a woman. If you keep it longer and that type of thing. And I see, and I've been seeing for many, many, many years now, one of the most difficult things, and I remember experiencing this, and we've had these conversations, I've said this before, but I remember experiences at one time as it was a really difficult thing. And I see comments ever so often, people say I'm going through some real strong dysphoria at this point, even from people that have transitioned that are full-time assumption, is that this inability to accept you were at one time existing as, at least outwardly, as this gender, and I'm going to say as a trans woman at one time, and I'll say me, at one time I existed fully as a man, even though I didn't never identified as a man, but I existed as a man. And what happens is that you can't, it's really, really difficult. I'm not going to say you can't. I think it's possible, but it is really difficult to exist for a period of time as that gender or as a man, and not by osmosis at least develop some things there. And if you live long enough, there's probably some positive stuff that has happened, whether you had children, you had relationships, employment, experiences, going to Disney World, whatever. A lot of those type of things existing, and for you to think, for you to believe that when you start wearing women's clothing and you have boobs every day, that all of a sudden that male life disappears. It is destructive to even consider that that's possible. And I will tell you, I personally know some trans girls that transitioned before 18 years old that struggle with that, or 18 years old that not struggle necessarily. I do know some that struggle, but at least those feelings pop in there every so often of who that person is. It's unrealistic. It is damaging. It's destructive to feel that you have that you have to purge all of that previous life, even though it could have been a lot of bad stuff that happened, and you were not happy. Clearly, that's why you transition. You transition to that's what the word means. You're going into a different thing. You're now a butterfly instead of a worm. And But you know, it's like even in that situation, I'm sure the worm had some experiences and was enjoying some parts of it and stuff. And the butterfly probably remembers those things, if you get the analogy. Nathan is very clear, and I've said many times, and it was reference to this, is that a really good friend of mine told me that you got to pick the things that you're willing to take along with you in the journey, and that may have saved my life. I mean, you know, I'm not talking about something that helped me decide, do I wear 3-inch shoes or 2.5-inch heels shoes, whatever, not fashion statements, which are important, in my opinion, makeup tips, which are important, and things. There's a lot of things out there, but emotionally saved my life where I finally said, I'm going to be okay that I was once a man. And I'm going to be okay to say it. Because it's clear that I was. I mean, I'm not hiding it from anyone. And I'm even okay now that I have male expressions. Whatever. I mean, the reality is I'm transgender. The reality is that, and as I said before, is that the conflict, and I had this conversation to somebody today, and they looked at me as a cisgender gay man, and we were having a conversation, and he was talking about something. I said, the problem is I identify as a woman. I've always identified as a girl, as female in my mind. I've never identified anything different. I don't know how to describe what that means, but I've always, watching TV, listening to things, watching life and stuff, always thought I should have been that, whatever, girl, woman, that type of thing. But I know what I am by definition is I'm a transgender woman, but I mentally identify as a woman. I don't identify as a transgender woman. That's not my identity. That is what I am, so to speak. That's the box that I have been put into. I was born biologically, or at least, you know, some parts of me, most of me, if not all of me. I don't know about my DNA, but probably male. Just, again, that's what makes me that, makes me transgender, makes me a trans woman. I accept that, and I'm okay with that. And I think that has kept me sane and kept me grounded and kept me happy, and the lack of dysphoria necessarily and everything. And so I think the comment here from this person is very good. And again, very that, and it's a, I don't know if it's a trans man, but it's got a masculine name. And so I'll say he. I'm learning very early in my transition that there are things that you will miss about your former self, and that sometimes you have to recognize that this person was a very important part of your life. It's just the reality. Even if you transition at 17, for those 16 years, that person was part of your life. Very, very good. As we continue, says, I found a shoes. Have a man. Let's see. Oh, I thought it meant if a man gets stranded at your house due to inclement weather. That's funny. So then, oh, you mean a man disguised? Well, I don't know if this person is not an English speaking person because I can't hardly read. Well, all in favor of disguises. It's always better, clever, easy. Options at hand for any number of bizarre possible events. I don't know. I don't know what that means. let's see. We go to see small box in the past. I hope to do the same thing soon. I'll give it all away, not looking back, only forward. Burn the boat, hun. The moment I was out in all areas in my life, I got rid of the last of it. There's a special kind of relief to be rid of it all. If there are people who do not respect and affirm you for who you are, then they have not earned your trust. Okay, so it continues with that kind of stuff. And, of course, this is people that are transitioning. So when do you get rid of the man box? I'll continue or conclude on the man box thing. So So basically, what I'm going to say here is there's some things that you might want to consider before you get rid of your guy clothes. And I'm not even really talking about man box per se that they carry into things. It's you're in a closet, your stuff, and you got guy stuff that you have around. So some things that I did not consider. Now, at my age, I just turned 60, and so what happens, I think, to those, if you are near my age or above, you realize there's less life ahead than there was before. And you realize, and not to be morbid or sad or anything like that, the reality is you can't live forever. You can't live forever, and there's going to be a day that you die. But the other thing is, almost on a regular basis now, there are people that I went to school with that are dying, and I'm hearing about them dying. So you just deal with this kind of stuff. Now, again, I'm going to say that there's going to be some unique situations here, clearly, that based, and I think based on if you transitioned late in life, like I did, then you lived a certain length of your life as a male, then you develop, if you develop friends and people that care about you and you about them during that time, family, friends, and that kind of stuff, then things are a little bit more difficult. For example, that I'm talking about as far as coming out. If you came out earlier in life, then it's a little bit easier. Okay, it looks like I have a 502 area code here. I don't recognize that number per se, but I got a caller, so let's see. Hold on, make sure I get the right button. Hello, caller, can you hear
me?
Hey,
this is Julie.
Lampy?
Maybe.
Hi, Julie, how are you?
Good. What I can't remember from doing my show is, so does my literal number show up there on the...
Your literal number, but not any, there's no caller ID, so I would have to know, have to know. It would be nice if you
could... You know my number.
Yeah,
I'm offended
it would be nice
that you do not know my number off the top of your head.
You know, I'm not even sure I know anybody's number. I barely know mine. I mean, we just push buttons now and people get called. So
well, people tell me all the time they've got my number, but I don't think that's what that really means.
No,
so,
I'd say, sweetie,
anyway.
Nobody has your number.
Well, I missed, it's constantly changing, security reasons. I missed the first part of your show. I was just able to start listening maybe about 5 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago.
Okay. Cool.
And so I don't know if, I know you're talking about the man box, and I was very amazed by the varying differences of opinion. Like, you don't need it to
keep it.
Yeah, it's a pretty good idea.
Yeah.
And, I will probably say, just like anything in life, it probably varies per person on how much you probably might need it. We talked, last night about this, and it was, I would say that my personal thing is, just to get out there with everybody, is I'm probably selfish enough with myself that I don't know, and there's going to be a lot of pre-qualifiers, I say, or some, I don't know about a lot, that I don't know if I'll ever need it. But I think it's maybe what you're alluding to. You really don't know. But I just can't imagine that I would. But, again, I would say the only reason I'm really doing it is because, some of you have lived through that where it has been needed. And, mine will get – it's already tucked away in the back of a big closet. It'll get stuff put on top of it, and I hope I never have to bring it out. And I did write an expiration date on the box, so it is my full intent to get rid of it at some point. And my thing is, I know me, and this is going to sound weird, it's almost sounding like I'm throwing doubt on my transition, but I just know that I'm capable of taking the easier way out. And that's just my way I'm saying it. I don't really mean that's an easy thing to do because it's extremely hard. But I know that I don't want that option. And it's like I said in my post on my page, I am a believer in the burn the boat behind you mentality. Because sometimes I don't want to leave myself an option because I want to make myself go forward. And I don't know if that's the healthiest option all the time, but that's the way I feel. I don't know if that's the way I feel about this. Like I said, I've heard enough opinions to know that it's a reality in life that could happen. For the life of me, I just can't fathom having to do it. And I will say that I don't, you know, I said this to y'all, you know, friends that were talking, I'm not real close to a lot of my family. And the more I talk to them, the more I realize how close I'm not. And it's, you know, I'm not even going to throw them under the bus and say it's a trans stuff. I was not close to them a long time before this. So on either side, part of a very dysfunctional family. And so in my case, I'm more or less keeping it on advice more so than I am. I think I'll ever need it. But again, anybody that acts like they just know I'll never do that. That's easy to say that. Yeah. But I really hope I don't. I don't think any of us hope we do. But I don't think I will. And I will get rid of it at some point because I almost don't want to. And by saying I don't want to leave myself that option, that means if I think there's three people that could remotely, and again, sometimes it takes racking your brain over and over, and then sometimes you still don't think about it. If I think there's three people that remotely may be affected by my transition, well, then I got to tell them, or they just don't get to take part in that transition, and they just won't see me. And that's my take on it. That doesn't mean it's the right take. But I was just the whole spectrum that you saw on those posts is really amazing. It really is.
It is amazing. Yeah. And I was just reading it and stuff, and it kind of, as you and I talked last night, and I apologize on the front end of the show, is that and you probably have experienced it too a little bit, but just like a lot of things, tonight snuck up on me, and I didn't know what I was going to talk about. And partly, I was talking about it yesterday, kind of got me going, but I actually had other topics that I woke up this morning and was trying to think, what am I going to talk about? I was going to talk about this, and I had a couple other things, and I just couldn't wrap my brain around the ability to have an hour show on that. And then so I went to Facebook as the book of the face as my fallback, and so I just started scrolling down, and I saw your post, and I said, that's what I was going to do it on. I'm going to go ahead and do this. And so I started reading these comments, and I started seeing the extreme, as you say, the diversity, I guess, or the level of differences of opinion, and which is cool. And then I think that's, again, that's, as you said, is that I think, as I said last night, I do think that there is, I'm not a big fan of people. It's like everybody has their own choice and stuff because, on a literal level, because I think if you, I don't know, but there is a lot of comments here that are really, you know, as you said, there's like good idea to throw it away. And I'm going to say it. There's one person here that you and I both know and I'm just going to say it, and it's going to come back and bite me in the behind maybe at some point, but I will own up for it and stuff. He said, but I'm not going to say who the person is. If we get back to her, then that's perfectly fine. Said, she goes, something EF that, which I think is F that. So
yeah.
Throw that shit to the nearest trash receptacle. So I'm thinking if she feels that way, whatever she feels, I'm going to go the opposite. That's just
my
thinking.
I would say, I think we talked about this. There are, again, go back to the thing we all know. It's not that I came up with it. Is all of our journeys are different. some people transition or pre-transition damn near killed them. I mean, just with what they struggled with. And I can honestly say, you know, other than being a teenager and thinking what every teenager thinks, the I would say everyone at least has this thought in their head one time, well, nobody would miss me if I just, you know, did whatever to myself. You know, so yeah. I'm not being flip about that at all. Yeah. I think every normal teenager goes through that. And what I will say is people, you know, as we know, it's a ugly, ugly side of our transition. It's very sad. But people struggle so much with it and in how they're treated. Maybe they had a really bad experience with family or experiences and have nowhere to turn. And just that thinking about that part of their life is so traumatizing that they do want to get rid of every single thing they could possibly associate with that. Now, I'm not, I don't have a pocket psychiatry degree, and I didn't stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. I can't, you know, I'm not going to act like I'm the expert, but I don't know if that's healthy or not healthy. So I'm not casting judgment on that. But I do know my experience is not that drastic. I'm like you. I knew, you know, from childhood, late childhood, but childhood, not teendom, that, you know, I knew I was different. I knew I had different likes than a lot of the guys did. And, you know, I had some similar likes, too. I'm not going to act like, you know, I was wanting to play with a Barbie every 5 seconds. But it wasn't this horrendous experience that was forced upon me. And, you know, I experienced it got put on the shelf and pushed back by my own choices, not by somebody pushing it on me. And so I don't have that angst of, you know, if I see another pair of tidy whities, I'm going to throw up. You know, I don't have that angst, but I understand how some people could. So that I guess that's why you see the varying responses. And but I will say, like I said earlier, I don't want to allow myself to go that route. And that may not make any sense at all, but because I don't want to make it sound like, well, I may get tired of this and go back to, that's not what I mean. I don't want to go backwards. And I would be just my personal opinion. I don't think this about anybody else, but in my personal opinion, I would view myself as going backwards if I had to do that for somebody. Because you've made very, very good points about, you know, other people's feelings and respecting that. And, you know, I'll just stand by what I said. You and others that have had to dip into that man box, some a lot deeper than others, for extended periods of time, are a lot bigger and better people than I am. And I wholeheartedly mean that because I just don't know if I've got that in me. So, but everybody's different.
Well, and I think a lot of the assumptions of some of that, as you said, like if you keep a man box, then that means that you intend to dip into it or to go back. Or it also, somebody made a comment too that if you have a man box, or somebody commented that they were very offended that somebody recommended that they do that, and they took it as someone saying that they weren't sure where they wanted to go. I think the thing is that on this, where I was going through with the show is kind of explaining what the man box is and at what point do you get rid of, really not the man box per se, but when do you get rid of the male clothes. And my whole intent for that, for my thing, is to say that number one is that you don't know what's going to happen. And clearly somebody made a comment, and you made a comment last night, well, if it gets to be a point where it's that bad, I'll just go buy clothes. And that's I think beside the point. I really And that's my mentality right now, other than, as I said, what I have done. But I am in again, in my situation with my son is a very unique situation that I'm dealing mm-hmm. with. But it's, I would say that, if you know anything about me, I would say, as I said last night, that I'm about as far transitioned as a person can go. And, and I'm certainly not going back. I have no desire to go back. I have no desire mm-hmm. to be anybody but and express anybody but myself. But what I'm saying is there are times possibly, and I never saw any of these happen 5 years ago. I never even considered any of these things 5 years ago when I pretty much about that time I was full time, I would say, maybe it depends on it. As I said before the show, I don't know when, I don't have a date when I actually feel like I came full time. But I never considered 5 years ago for sure that there would be a time that I would have to go back and express myself in male mode. And there has been one time, and it's with my son. Now, again, I'm not going to get into that with people, and they're going to say there's going to be all kinds of assumptions of what I'm saying because they don't know the situation. But I'm just saying it is a unique situation, and there are unique situations. Just because I kept some clothes, partly for all kinds of reasons, but even if I did or if I didn't do it, and I had to go buy some clothes to see my son, then the point is that. My point is that at some point, as you say, and this is why you're keeping it, has nothing to do with if you. So I guess it's a really silly thing is if you transition, you're going to work now full time. You're full time. You're existing full time. It's who you are. But I'm gonna do that with the idea that maybe I will go back. Nobody really thinks that they're gonna go back when they transition. Why would you go to work? Why would you transition thinking? Well, I could possibly go back. And for the most part. Not too many people go back. It's like, 1% or...
Like 2% or something like that?
Yeah,
1 or 2%.
Yeah, it's a small number, and we see some at meetings because, and you and I have seen people, I know, and I've said before, just because I know so many people, because I've been around so long, I have actually talked to, in my lifetime, 10 trans women that had some physical augmentation that was full-time that now... that detransitioned, went back to being a guy. And that's a lot,
mm-hmm.
but I know a lot. So, I mean, again, not some of them I don't know well. Some of them, one of them was my mentor, was my my first trans woman that really helped me do a lot of things. She has been living as a guy for a long time. She had orchiectomy, and I continue to refer to her as a girl, and was... taught me a ton of stuff. I learned so much from her. And then one day she decides she's just going to detransition. And it was just for her emotionally, mentally, whatever, it was just too difficult for her to exist as a woman, employment wise and all kinds of things. And,
Go ahead.
Yeah. And we've met some things, but the point is that I don't think anybody keeps their guy clothes with the idea that's a silly thing to even think about is an idea that, well, I may change my mind because, you know, nobody, it's kind of silly. I'm going to jump over this cliff. Well, with the idea I don't know. It just is a silly idea. My thinking is.
Well, I think there's a, and you may have said this in the beginning, because this is something like you would say, is I think. I'm just saying, I could see you saying this, and I would agree. There's the literal man box, and there's the figurative man box.
Yeah. Right.
And the figurative, again, you've talked about what you take forward with you. And I think that's the figurative man box, let's say, or, you know, if you're a trans man, the woman box. And, and we all know, I would say, that figurative box could be very big or it could be very small.
Uh-huh.
But I think whether people want to admit it or not, we all have those the figurative one that we'll probably, I mean, carry with us the rest of our lives. As you so eloquently put, the worm has those memories. It would be the caterpillar that has those memories, not the worm, but
well,
I guess that's kind of worm.
Worm for other reasons, but yeah. Figuratively speaking, as a worm, so I'm just saying.
No, I know. But I would agree that, you know, there's, like I said, it's interesting to think about the figurative man box. And one other point, I'm not going to hijack your show, so I'll let you go after this. But it's we so seldom get callers. I know how that feels. But
I got 15 callers waiting.
Yeah, can you
no.
pick it up a little? Yeah. But it with one of the people you've talked about, and I will say this, you talk about man box or your, you know, your former self or whatever, is I think people have an emotional / family / attachments. There's a lot of stuff in that box. It's not just clothes.
Right.
And I think, I mean, with some of the people that detransition, it's family and surroundings. So I think sometimes, and I'm going to say this coming from a conversation I had tonight, I won't get into details, but let me just say there's some things that probably aren't going to be able to be carried forward as much as you would even like them to. And I'm talking about family or friends, and I'll leave it at that.
Right. Yeah.
And sometimes I think if it's something that shouldn't be in your box and you keep trying to cram it, like it keeps trying to hop out and run away, and you keep catching it and throwing it back in there, it's like, I want to keep you. Well, I think that's part of the destruction of some people.
I
agree. Not going to pretend to know why people detransition, but I think sometimes that's part of it, is just destructive forces in their life that they feel like they have an allegiance to, but are really just tearing them down. So, and it's so much more than that. That's so oversimplistic about the one thing I'm talking about, because I really don't know a whole lot about that circumstance. But I don't know. That box has a lot more in it than clothes.
Yeah.
I'll just say that.
Yeah. And I think that's the figurative man box is, I was talking about that a little bit as far as those things, because I referred to the comment on your and you referred to comment that you heard me make comment about them. Someone had told me years ago. And I think how that really saved my life emotionally, it was the ability for me to accept that for me personally, I kind of took along the things that kind of stuck with me, the kind of things that I couldn't get rid of. And I pretty much accepted those things. The things that I didn't, for example, you know, the physical things that I took along with me, I wanted to get rid of. A lot of those things I could get rid of. But I, you know, there's some things I couldn't. It's kind of interesting. It's like a college degree. I mean, I certainly was going to bring that along with me. And I got it as a man. And but there's some things that, like the athletic stuff that I did for a long, long, long time, I fought that.
Right.
And I pretended that I would even pretend I didn't know anything about sports and do anything. And as much as it's not really a part of my life today, and I may watch like the NCAA basketball tournament, I may watch some baseball on occasion, but it's not like it's not even a part, hardly a part of my life today. It is a part of my past. And it kind of comes out on occasion, and I'm, as you well know, I refer to it often because it just it was part of my life for 45 years, I guess, and stuff. So it's so and that's helped me personally. And I guess my advice that I'm trying to say in a literal and figurative type of a thing is, for example, like so what we were talking about, the conclusion of the man box thing is, I think, is what you see from these people is, so use you as an example. Here's someone that you make this comment and stuff, and 2/3 of the people are saying, like, this person say, throw it in the trash receptacle. So this is a person that is self-centered, selfish type of a person, because I know her, and I'm going to say that type of person. There's some giving that she does, and I'm not a big fan of hers and stuff, clearly, but she's going to say that without knowing anything. There's people giving advice and stuff. So my first thing is, it worries me when people so readily give advice on Facebook to people they have no idea who they're talking to and what they're talking to about something like that. That's my first comment. The second thing is,
I would agree with that.
Yeah. The second thing is, it's even scares me even more that people take advice from these type of situations and say, well, you know, they'll look up and they'll see this person. And of course, we take advice so much more readily from good-looking, attractive, young, trans people that look like they have everything together, and less than we do where they're old and not good-looking and don't look like they have everything together and stuff, which is pathetic that we do that. So we take this type of advice, and all they got to do is say, I'm a post-op transsexual, and therefore I say what I say. Oh, yes, ma'am, I'm going to do that type of thing. And so people listen to that. So that worries me and stuff. And, of course, it gets to the point that the other thing is you've referred to a few times, and I've referred to often, is the phrase trannier than thou. And I think the man box has is a component to the trannier than thou concept, is that you cannot be a true transsexual using this phrase from a lot of people. Is that's basically what they're saying is throw it in the trash. I mean, what is it, 1 foot by 1.5 foot box that's back in your closets that you're keeping for a year isn't going to do anything to your life, except if you tell people, they're going to think less of you as a trans woman. I mean, there are people that think that. And so that bothers me quite a bit. So my message is really, truly is, the first thing is to consider there are things like, for example, we talked about before, is like funerals, is that for me, I have not attended since I have transitioned, I have not attended a funeral as a male. I continue to attend funerals. If I attend, I attend as me. But I am saying, as I said last night, there are situations that are going to happen within the next few years that concern me, that I don't know what I'm going to do. In my personal situation, there are people that are like so important to my previous life, that were so valuable to me, that just was so important to who I became as a person, who I still am as a person, that I don't know if I have the ability to go as me and not disrupt something that is very, very personal when it's not about me, it's about them and about their family. And it worries me because I want to be there. I want to be at that funeral. And even then, the thing we didn't talk about is that, so I'm going to, it's not my male name, but I'm not going to use my male name, but let's say Adam, using from a Bible, let's say, is Adam is the male name and Holly is the female name. So even if I go as Holly, as we know, people that knew Adam are going to care less that Holly's there. I mean, a lot of times, I mean, they may be, even if it doesn't disrupt things, it's almost like to them, Adam didn't come and say goodbye, but this Holly person did, even though they know. I mean, you know how confusing that gets anyway. So, sure. So what I'm telling people is, what I'm saying is, 5 years ago, I never even thought about this until a funeral happened that I went to as me, but it was something I had to navigate. There were some navigational issues I had to deal with. And it woke me up and said, so the conclusion of that we had last night is, I'm not saying go as the guy if you don't feel comfortable doing that. I am not saying go as the girl. I am also saying, though, I don't think it's right to come out at a funeral. I just think that's selfish, in my opinion.
Well, that's my opinion was, I just probably wouldn't go. It boils down to, it's a personal thing. And when, now I haven't transitioned quickly, but also it hasn't taken me 15 years of transitioning to get to this point. I mean, it's basically 2.5 years, three years almost exactly, if you want to say when I always say I started, which is not a made up thing, but
yeah,
it's some people, it just takes a lot of introspection, and I don't know what it hurts to keep it other than with me. It'll just be a, I'm struggling for the right word or phrase, is when you keep something just because, or you get rid of something just because, it's, I forgot what that word is, but it's more of a symbol.
Yeah.
It would, to me, getting rid of it would symbolize something more than it's really going to affect the change, because like I said, I can always go to Penny's and buy some Dockers or something if I wanted
right.
to. And
yeah.
my joke is, I hope to God those clothes don't fit me in 2 years. I would like to think I'm a lot
yeah.
smaller.
Right.
But
right.
who knows? But it's a lot of personal preference, and I do agree with there's no cookie cutter statement to make about it. And this will be the last thing I say. I do think it was interesting, the one woman who said she had promised her daughter, if her daughter, when the time came, when and if she gets married, if she wanted her dad as a male to walk her down the aisle, she would do that. So that's the only reason I think she said she kept one. And actually, I don't even know if she said she kept one. She just said she told her daughter that. Now, that's different than we know some people whose kids kind of,
right. Demanded.
Wasn't going to. Yeah, so
yeah.
It that cuts both ways. But
right.
And I can respect that, too. That doesn't make that mm-hmm. person any less trans. They're doing that out of love for their kid. Now, would want to believe the kid would say, no, I want you as you are, not as a symbol. But,
yeah.
Different strokes for different folks. And if that person's willing to make that sacrifice, then that's fine. Just like I don't
mm-hmm.
judge you for making those decisions. But I do, again, I'll go back to it is, I do think it's not wise to make a blanket statement of just get rid of it. But I can see where, again, somebody who has a past where it is just a horrid reminder. You had a pretty good male life. I mean, from
I did.
What you've told me, it was pretty
yeah.
good.
yeah.
And, good enough to where I'd say I'd be jealous of it. And, and I was around some of the stuff you were around, but
yeah.
not near
uh-huh.
to the level. And, so you don't have this taste for it other than the fact that you're just like all of us. I'm sure if you would add your druthers at 8, 9, 10, 11, whatever, things would have been different then. And I think I was typing something on the Facebook link you gave at first, if you happen to see that, and that's why I do think it's important the earlier people that can transition, and I think we're starting to see that, thankfully, again, with informed information along the way and everybody being, parents being a part and the doctors and therapists and all that, just not, knee-jerk stuff. But the earlier you can do it, the less bigger – and we'll just talk as women, the less bigger man box you'll need because there's less stuff in it.
Right.
Again,
right.
we'll go with the figurative man
yeah.
box. There's just less memories. There's less all of that. So I think that is a huge advantage other than the puberty thing and all that, which is that's in and of itself a big thing, but stopping yeah. that. But you just keeping this, that's the one of the problems we have as middle-aged people coming out is, you, like you said, you've got 45 years of stuff.
Yeah.
You got a steamer trunk full of stuff, figuratively.
I got an
18-wheeler.
You don't
have a paper
yeah.
box. So, yeah, and it's, I don't know. So
yeah.
it is what it is, and everybody's personal preference, and there's no right answer, really. So
well,
that's a wussy way to do it. You're a little more controversial than I am, but
I am
on that one.
I am.
But
yeah.
To each their own.
Yeah. The but again, as I said, the thing is that when you're ready to empty, when you're ready to purge, maybe purge is not the right word. When you're ready to get rid of the figurative and the physical, the actual man box, at that point, give it some time, think about it. But the moral of the story, the mistake that I made, is that the funeral navigation was because I had a group of family members that are really, really close, that it took me longer to come out to them than I should have. I should have already told them.
Mm-hmm.
And I put it off for multiple reasons. One is it's a big family, and I didn't know.
Right.
It didn't. My method of coming out to people was locally and one by one, and how I would tell people, and it was hugely successful for me, and I could not in my mind come up with an idea that to do it individually in Indianapolis with such a big family without staying there for a week. And then, of course,
right.
Once you tell someone, you got to tell somebody else, and I didn't want to kind of have a meeting of 10 people. And, you know, you get busy, all kinds of reasons. I can give all kinds of excuses, but the reality is that 5 years ago, what I should have done is went ahead and told them and went up there and found some way, even if it was clunky, I should have told them. And that way they were, because it wasn't going to change anything. Again, the conversation I've had is like, I wasn't going to ask their opinion or approval. It was just that they needed to know. So then when I did go to a funeral,
kind of thing.
Yeah, and stuff. And so that was the mistake I made. But so I'm just saying is, but for me, for my experiences too, is that I came out to everyone as the male when I was dual row. And it made it
mm-hmm.
a little bit easier. I don't think it's the right way, in my opinion. I think it's a difficult way to do it well, is to, when someone has no clue and you knock at the door and say, hey, by the way, I'm your mom that you think was your dad, but I'm really your mom, that kind of stuff. So I think that was the mistake. So the moral of the story is that maybe in some way, because it's really impossible probably to come out to every single person you've ever known.
Sure.
So it's, but you do have to come out. I think the conversation we had is the people that matter to you, and these people up there matter to me. They're
right.
very, very important to me. And so that was the thing that I'm trying to say. And my bottom line, what I said was, it really is based on, you know, the thing is what the person is, that it does work a lot of ways and stuff. But I think the rule of thumb is give yourself time. The rule of thumb is make sure you come out to everybody that matters. And then at that point, then you can get rid of the man box, and because you don't have to worry about it. To attend any things, and you don't come out at the wedding or at the funeral. So anyway, that's my take. I think I lost her. She got tired of it. Maybe she just thought it was it. But so that's the thing is. So one of the things though in the conversations, I want to throw this out real quick, the selfish versus the aspect of transitioning and stuff, and that was a conversation. And you heard Julie make a comment to it. And there's some things here that was said, one of the comments here, and it kind of got me rolling on this topic. Again, it's Facebook. And to take any really strong advice about anything serious from Facebook from people you don't know or anything is probably a pretty silly thing. Pretty much people saying that, telling to Julie, that Julie officially transitioned. She's now working at full time, and it's it's not my job to tell details and stuff. But she's already said it on her show. But so her first full day was today, and she started on Friday and stuff. I'm not sure that I would tell her, and she's doing it, I would say, you know, give it some time, make sure you're ready, not transitioning, that's happening, that's who she is, and there's no even consideration that that's a mistake or even she's going to go back. But there are times, maybe, to give it some time that she may want to possibly or need to do something possibly with guy clothes. And to me personally, you hear a phrase, and if you're a parent, now I'm a grandparent, I literally have said this, and I actually was in a situation where I literally risked my life to save my son's life in a situation. And when it happened, it was such a quick thing. I literally put myself in physical danger without even thinking about it. It was such a quick situation that I did. And you are, as a parent, I think most of us are willing to die for our children. And now, there is detransitioning, killing yourself and stuff. For me, it would be near impossible for me to detransition. I'm not talking physically. I'm just talking emotionally and stuff like that. It would be very, very difficult. But I have thought that in my situation, I've considered it. Now, my son is 22 and now has a child and is married, and everything is going really, really good for him. So my involvement with his life, he lives in another state. My involvement in his life is minimum in a lot of ways. So that's a different thing. But I think one of the things that you see a lot is that it's your life, live your life. So I'm going to talk about this. This is my feeling about that topic of being selfless, or which is pretty, it's clearly the opposite of selfish. And I do know, and I've been alive since the 50s, and I've seen a lot of stuff. I'm not the oldest person alive, I'm not the youngest person alive, and some things, and I know there's some stuff that I've experienced that lead me to think these things and everything. But I was, I did read a quote earlier, talking about it was a musician, a very famous musician, said that she doesn't think it's right for her to have children for the most part because her career is selfish. It necessarily is that she is selfish, but her career is selfish. And my career at one time was selfish. I lost a lot of stuff mostly because of my career was so selfish. And it had nothing to do with anything but just the amount of time that it took me to do that. So I never really considered myself as selfish per se, but I had a selfish career. So this is selflessness, the giving part, the opposite of selfish. These are some people that talked about it. There is power in self-sacrifice, Veronica Roth from Divergent, from a movie. Clearly, I'm not sure how valuable that gives you and stuff, but the Dalai Lama, 14. Our prime purpose in this life is to help others, and if you can't help them, at least don't hurt them. That's a good Facebook thing. Audrey Hepburn. It is a wonderful old-fashioned idea that others came first and you came second. This was the whole ethic by which I was brought up. Others mattered more than you do, so don't fuss, dear. Get on with it. Here's one. It's from Gretchen Rubin, from the Happiness Project, or Why I Spent a Year Trying to Sing in the Morning, and blah, blah, blah. Says the belief that unhappiness is selfish and happiness is selfish is misguided. It is more selfless to act happy. Takes energy, generosity, and discipline to be unfailingly lighthearted, yet everyone takes the happy person for granted. No one is careful of his feelings or tries to keep his spirit high. He seems self-sufficient. He becomes a cushion for others and because happiness seems unforced, that person usually gets no credit. This person, Stephen Kendrick, said that almost every sinful action ever committed can be traced back to selfish motives. It is a trait we hate in other people, but justify in ourselves. The mark of the immature man is that he wants to die nobly for a cause, while the mark of the mature man is he wants to live humbly for one. And let's see. Here's a Chelsea Handler. She said, my mother told me that life isn't always about pleasing yourself and that sometimes you have to do things for the sole benefit of another human being. I completely agreed with her, but reminded her that that was what blow. Whoops. I should. She goes, that was what blowjobs were for. So anyway, selflessness, it should be the basis of every relationship. If a person truly cares about you, they'll give more pleasure from the way they make you feel rather than the way you make them feel. So comment after comment after comment about the selfless. Now, let me make this really, 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 really clear. Transitioning is not selfish or selfless. But it is being who you are. It is being authentic. That is not being selfish, selfless, or selfish. It is reality. It's becoming who you are. We have the amazing ability in today's world to be authentic. And authentic is more selfless than selfish, in my opinion. It is better to be authentic with your family and friends than it is to be fake with your family and friends. It is better for them. It's better for you. I want to make that very, very clear. I'm not by any means saying that transitioning or any of those type of things is a selfish act. So please be clear on that. What I am saying is that there are a lot of attitudes out there that encourage selfishness through transitioning and from transitioning and how you transition and how you deal with it. For example, how you come out and how you deal with it. I've known so many people that said, I transition on Thursday and I tell my mom on Friday and I expect her to call me my new name on Monday. And if she doesn't, then I hate her. I'm not going to talk to her again. That is selfish. I mean, you're going to transition and stuff. Do it at least with some respect. Give your mom some time. Again, I say all the time, she's the one who gave birth to you. My gosh, she's the one that named you probably. Give it some time. Give her some time to come up with this new name, if ever. And give her a break on that type of thing. You see comment after comment. If they don't really, I don't remember what this comment was. If they don't, if they're not truly a friend, then, you know, who cares? That type of thing. My aunt, she's not doing well. She's the youngest of the sister of my mom. My mom had two sisters and a brother. She's the youngest. I love her to death. We grew up together. She's not that much older than I am. She called my mom, Mom. My mom kind of raised my two aunts, her two sisters, which are much younger. They're both very, very much more like sisters than aunts. Very close, as I said. One of my aunts, the youngest one, she's not doing well health-wise. And when I came out to my family at some point, 5 years ago or whatever, I don't know how long ago it was at this point, and I was coming out individually, as I said before and stuff, I told her, she's a pretty religious person, and I told her, and then she kind of told my other aunt, her sister, said something like, I miss him. And then she told me, she goes, basically, I love Holly, but I miss him. And I think that's a really good way of putting it. And I think that's really, she's been really, really good. And I go see her at the home. She's at a nursing home. I go see her, and she refers to me. She introduces me as her niece, and we have really bonded really pretty good, and a relationship has been really good. But she misses him. Loved him for 40-something. Well, I came out to her later. So for most of life, that this person was very, very important to her. And when you transition and people just continue to forget about this, when you transition, two things that you can't forget is that you've been dealing with this, if not your whole life, most of your life. And you've had to deal with this, and you kind of come to grips with it yourself. even. And it took you a while probably to come with grips and stuff to give your family, those people that loved that other person, a day, a two, a year even, is you need to give them as much time as they need. You need to love them. So the transition isn't the selfish part. The impatience is the selfish part. The I'm going to give you ultimatums is the selfish parts to your family, your friends, and that type of thing, in my opinion. To give them some time and listen to some of these people that have lived life and have experienced life and have done really well. All right, so anyway, comment there. I'm going to go to the next again as I want to do some segments. I'm going to shift gears here. Again, if you've got any comments on this and stuff, I want to feel free to make some comments. I'm sure people are going to misinterpret some stuff that I said. And, you know, so my selfish attitude is, you know, that's your problem. It's not mine. But if you want to talk to me about stuff, let me know. But what you feel and everything. Again, I had this conversation at work. We had this big planning session at work today about some stuff and some things were said. It was really interesting how balance becomes the theme on so many different things, keeping things in balance. And, you know, I will say on the selfish part and stuff, you got to think of yourself a lot of times. There's no doubt. But if you are selfish, it's like you're thinking of yourself all the time and you give you don't give to other people for selfless reasons. There's, I'm not saying it's even 50-50. It's probably 75-25, but can't be selfish. I mean, you can be, but consider those things that other people have said and that type of thing. So when you're ready to give up the man box, it's based on you, not based on the book of the face. Don't listen to other people. Trust your feelings. Be patient. Get rid of it when you're ready to get rid of it. Come out to people. If you're transitioning, you got to come out to people. Don't do what I did. And you just got to tell people and got to let them know. All right. So last segment before we get off here, I want to kind of get to this quick. We continue to have these things, and I have said this for many years on this radio show, and I say it every time I talk to people. And I remember at some point people kept saying it's not a big deal. You know, I think we got to keep. I had again another conversation today. Somebody, we were in an LGBT meeting with about 20 people at work. Not all LGBT. There was straight people. There were, you know, diversity in this group and stuff. And we had a little small group, and we're talking about speakers and things like that. And Janet Mock, I love to death. And I said something like, if we could get a speaker, Janet Mock would be crazy great. But I don't know if very many people know her. Now, most of you probably listening probably know who Janet Mock is. A lot of the LGBT probably may know, but I would say a lot of trans people know who she is. But I would say not very many. And so I told one of the little subgroup that we're in, I said, I bet you even in this room not very many people knew. There's like 20 people, 4 people knew who Janet Mock was. And I said, if they don't know who they are, it's really hard to get people to go attend a meeting or attend a speaker. Now you have to market it and stuff like that, of course. So you got to keep forgetting like this bathroom thing and stuff. For us, it makes sense that it's stupid and stuff. But there's all these other people comes out and they talk about this. So here's and I think it's important to kind of remember. And I've said for a long time, the battle is going to be in the bathroom. And it is going on in a bathroom. It's going to be really, really, it's pretty scary. And it's what they're doing is they're doing scare tactics. They're talking about stuff that doesn't happen, hasn't happened, and probably will never happen. And if it does, it's a very unique, rare, horrible situation. But this was in Washington. It says sexual assault victims scout against Washington's transgender bathroom policies. So real quick, it says a group of women who say they are former victims of sexual assault are making an emotional plea to Washington state legislators to reverse a bathroom policy that they say leaves them and their young children vulnerable, exposed, and unsafe. Quote, it started when I was in diapers and went through until I was 10. Kaylee Triller Haver, who is now 32, told the Daily Signal of her abuse. I used to get washed in the shower. That was his thing. Gretchen Flores, a 47-year-old from Puyallup, Washington, said her abuse happened inside a locker room. I used to get cramps in my leg when I would swim, and he would tell me to come in with him. Flores said he would start the base of my leg and move up farther than he should have. Jamie Simmons, also from Puyallup, said her abuser, a teacher, would make her watch porn before assaulting her. For me, she quoted, grooming started at 8 and raping started at 9. Simon, 39, told that Daily Signal it was good 18 years before I could start speaking about it. The Daily Signal met with Simon Trillerhofer and Flores in Washington State Capitol to learn why they are breaking their silence about their past experiences to fight what they believe are dangerous new policies. There's no doubt in my mind, this is a quote, there's no doubt in my mind that many, many people will be hurt with this kind of policy, Simon said. The policies which went into effect December 26th grant individuals full access to bathroom, locker rooms, and other gender-specific facilities in accordance with their chosen gender instead of their anatomical sex. But already Simon and their other victims for their stories have fallen on deaf ears, and they're being portrayed in the public as fearmongers. Over and over again, women are told your abuse is not important. It's not important to fund. It's not important to protect. That's just one more way to us to know that our abuse doesn't matter, that we're not protected, Simon says, adding, and now I'm a fearmonger because I'm speaking out about it. I don't accept it. I'm not crying that sky is falling. This is actually happening. It's not a pretend thing. I wish it was. Then it talks about some other things. Again, it's in the Daily Signal, it was today, the Heritage Founding. Wait a minute here. Oh, yeah, it's in Washington, the state of Washington. It talks about the YMCA policies and some of that. I'm not going to read the whole thing to you. Now, again, I know I'm preaching to the choir. If you're listening, you're either transgender or you know someone is transgender or any of those types of things. You're most likely okay with this type of thing. Not okay with this, but the fear mongering. What she's talking about stuff is clearly, first of all, what these three women are talking about, horrific, horrible things that happen to these people. And the thing is really kind of interesting as a woman, as a trans woman, I fear things like that also. I think that those things are on the mind of women for sure. Being attacked, sexually attacked, and those type of things. So I think they, and she's talking about the women. So basically it's a women's bathroom, a women's locker room with trans women going in there. Now, the argument possibly, and we've talked about before, just making sure if you haven't heard, we're talking about it, is there's a new argument is that it's not necessarily going against trans women. It's going against people portraying to be trans women and to go into the bathroom to harm women, which is against the law to harm women. I mean, I don't know if anybody realizes that, but that's talking about that, you know, there's not been any laws that says it's okay to harm women. And so they have to do that. The other thing is you're talking about is that, again, I'm talking to preaching to the choir, and you get this, there's stalls there, that these are some ridiculous type of things. My point that I'm trying to say here is that there has to be a more unified type of strategy to battle these type of things. We can't call them fear mongers. We have to be more statistically oriented, in my opinion. We have to discuss. They have to understand this. I think it's if they would understand it a little bit more, it would help. Now, again, there's some people that we're not that we're going to we're talking to deaf ears. My other thing is clearly this is being attacked from the Republican side, and I'm not political by any means. But I am going to tell you that if you're not from the city of or the state of Kentucky, of what happened in the state of Kentucky with the election this past again, I'm so ignorant, and I'm going to use the wrong things, but I believe it was the governor that won, that is Republican, and in a state of Kentucky that should have not won. And even I think the night before, they predicted that he would not win. And, yeah, it was Matt Bevin, and they predicted that, gosh, I can't remember the guy's name. Again, I'm from Indiana, so I didn't, wasn't part of the vote. But strong, strong Republican conservative won in the state of Kentucky when they really expected a Democrat to win. The moral of the story, the thing to learn is you've got to get out and vote. I think what happened partly in the state of Kentucky for that is people just assumed that I don't want to type and talk at the same time because I'll probably get lost here a little bit and hesitate. But I think so many people thought that the Democrat was going to win that they just didn't get out and vote. They kind of took it for granted. Don't take it for granted. You got to get out and fight this type of stuff because people are they're using the politics view of it, and it's become very, very political. And that's pretty much, at least legally, the best way to get some things done is to stop it at this point and to speak out against it and educate people. Don't be mad. Don't be mean. Don't call names. Educate and let them understand what's going on. That's just my opinion. So anyway, that's out there. I know the state of Indiana is talking about some similar type of stuff, and it's getting crazier and crazier by the day. So think about it. Let me know if you got any thoughts or questions. And I appreciate you listening. I got a little bit of rambling here at the end. A couple announcements. I also want to do some announcements here for events. Want to make sure Trans Women National is the organization by which Trans Women National, or TWN Radio, exists. And then you have Journeys with Julie, which is the first and the third Monday at 8 o'clock of each month. And then you have Prism Radio, my show, which is the second and fourth Monday at 8 o'clock each month. And then Trans Women National, we have a Louisville support group, local support group meeting, and that is on the third Saturday of each month at 6 o'clock. And contact us for the location there for that. Speaking of different things, let you know the Kentucky Fairness Rally through the Louisville Fairness Campaign. Contact them. That is February 17th. And I think they're carpool at 6:45 that morning. And one of the things is that, to be clear, is that LGBT people can still be fired from a job, denied a place to live, or kicked out of a restaurant in the state of Kentucky. Legally in a lot of states, and there needs to be fairness ordinances across the country, which we don't have. Let's see. Wednesday nights, we have we call it Ladies Night Out because we're a women's support group, our women's group, national group, but it's at the Chill. It's really just friends. Anybody that wants to come out there, you got to be 21. We get there, some of us at 6, some of us get there later and stuff, but it kind of comes and goes. Between 6 o'clock and 10 o'clock. That's Wednesday nights at the Chill Bar on Bardstown Road in Louisville, Kentucky. You can get that information, all this information, on the transwomennational.org website. That's www.transwomen and then national. So all one word, of course, transwomennational.org. And there's a calendar there of events and all kinds of information that you might need, including a directory of trans-friendly locations that you can do a search for, places you're looking for. So with that said, I think that pretty much concludes the show for this evening. I kind of got rambling a little bit there, so I apologize. I really would prefer it to be a little bit shorter, but oh well. You can kind of tune in and listen as much as you want. So contact us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page, Trans Women National. Contact us on our website, either one. Let us know what we can do to help. Let us know what we're not doing very good, and we'll try to do a better job of it. And we're just getting better all the time. I hope things are going good for you. And just have a good week, and I will talk to you later. And I'm going to let you, well, I was going to go here. Music. Let's see. There we go. All right. We'll talk to you later. So that is the show for this evening. I hope you enjoyed it and you will come back soon. Don't forget, Journeys with Julie is the first and third Monday, and Prism Radio is the second and fourth Monday. Julie and I both will do a show together when there is a fifth Monday. All shows are at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern. More information about our radio show and Trans Women National can be found at www.transwomennational.org. You can always listen to past shows either on our Blog Talk Radio page, or we would really love to have you subscribe to our iTunes channel. Just go to the iTunes store and type in TWN Radio as a search. The more that subscribe, the higher rating we get. We would also love to hear from you with any comments or questions. There are various ways you can contact us, and our website has all the links. Just go to the Connect with Us link at the top of the page. Have a wonderful week and keep smiling. Good night.